Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio. 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can download that app anywhere you get your favorite app stores, your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store. Download the Odyssey app. It's a big orange background with a big white A. Download it. Once it's down, you look for WILK News Radio. Favorite us, and that's it. You got us. Listen to us anytime, any place. Work seamlessly with your CarPlay and have some fun with that. It's coming up on 309, 87 degrees on this Thursday, July 10th, 2025. Just cruising through the summer. Make the best of it. Make each day count. It is going by pretty quick. Next thing you know, we're in August, and then, you know what happens after that. Everybody's winding back up for back to school. Parents are chomping at the bit for those buses to come pick up those kiddos. Hopefully not, though. Make the best of it. Already got a text message before we even got started here. Rob, how is it possible that another young boy died of heat exhaustion in the back of a vehicle in Texas? Are people stupid? What are they thinking? I'm totally overwhelmed by what is wrong with people. Check your back seat before you leave your vehicle. May God help us. It does not make sense, and you cannot make sense of it. I know a lot of the newer cars alert you if there's any sort of pressure or the seatbelt used in the back seat whatsoever. It tells you to check your back seat. But even if you have an older car, I just don't understand it. I don't get it. You know, I've had three children as young. Now they're older, so if they're going to sit in the back seat, it's on them at this point. But it doesn't matter who it is. You know, your children, pets, anything that's happening. Anything that's happening, it's mind-boggling how someone could think, well, I'm just going to run in. And some of it's not even that. I mean, this woman went in for a cosmetics appointment. How long does that take? 20 minutes, half hour, 45 minutes? You know, I don't care if it's winter outside. You don't leave your kids in the car, young kids at that. If you're not able to get out of the car and stand there on your own, then you shouldn't be leaving them anywhere. It's interesting how you have to have licenses and permits to do so much, but any moron could have a child. And I guess part of the problem we're dealing with, and it's their inner circle. That's the real problem. But at this point in the game where it is happening more and more, and here's another story to prove that, it's it's up to us to see something, say something, and demand action when you do see it. Make sure you're there, and if you need to take action to make sure a child is safe, then you need to do what you need to do. There are laws to protect you from doing that, but hopefully public safety, law enforcement, fire department, EMS could get there quick enough to act where they have indemnification to do so and can maybe take proper recourse against whoever it was. But it's sad to see that. I did not see that story as of today, but sad. We just talked about this yesterday, that there has been a rash of these types of cases. And it's interesting because this year it is more and more children. I mean, would you leave your – if you took your 90-year-old grandmother or grandfather out and he was in the back seat, would you just shut the car off, leave him in the car for 15, 20 minutes while you ran into the store in 90-degree heat where it gets 120 degrees in the car? No, you wouldn't. So why? Why in God's name would you leave your child? Oh, just sorry to start off the show like that, but that was a text message. Somebody said a good recommendation for women is to put their purses in the back seat so they have no choice but to look back there. It shouldn't take that. It shouldn't take that at all. But if it helps the brainless, then by all means, do what you need to do to give yourself a reminder that your child's in the back seat. All right. Well, we got plenty to talk about. I told you yesterday that I would have updates on the Scranton to New York rail service. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. But there's another developer looking to build 30-plus data centers in the North Pocono area, just off 380 in the Covington-Clifton area. And we've seen a lot of data centers proliferate throughout Northeast Pennsylvania, or at least the planning of such. But a developer is proposing constructing nearly three dozen building data centers, a whole campus in Clifton and Covington Township. And they're going to challenge the validity of Clifton Township's data center zoning while Covington moves to enact legislation governing high-tech facilities as well. Operating as a 1778 Rich Pike LLC, a Doylestown-based firm, wants to build 34 data centers, fueling artificial intelligence across just under 1,000 acres divided between Clifton and Covington Township. On either side of Interstate 380, just north of Clifton Beat Roads, a proposal that is quickly drawing opposition from residents. And of course it will. The each building will be approximately 125,000 square feet per floor, with a maximum of three floors, amounting to an estimate of $14.25 billion plus investment. That's right, $14.25 billion investment, said an attorney for the developer. Now, Covington's proposed ordinance would cap the maximum height of each building at 120 feet while allowing up to 200 feet for a water tower and power generation facilities. Clifton adopted a data center ordinance back in May, which the developer is challenging, that limits the buildings to 35 feet, a height Morris said is too low to allow for enough cooling and airflow. The data center campus would use 1.5 gigawatts of electricity, tapping into PPL's 230 kilovolt power lines running through the property. 1 gigawatt is equal to 100 million LED light bulbs. Half of the power generated at the Hoover Dam, or roughly the same power as 2,000 Chevrolet Corvettes Z06 engines, according to the Department of Energy. That's a weird comparison, don't you think? I did when I read the story originally. But, you know, a lot of times you hear when there are data centers, really not a lot of employees and such. Well, this one's a little different. They say this data center would of this size would employ 400 to 500 workers, in addition to support jobs such as electricians, plumbers, roofers, and other specialized trades. Based on current valuation assumptions, current assessment assumptions, and current millage rates, the data center could generate an estimated $60 million to $85 million per year in net fiscal benefit for Covington and Clifton Townships, the North Pocono School District, Lackawanna County. That's a lot of change. So I would ease on the loudest voices in the room and see how many there actually are as far as opposing this. Drove by this area. I worked by this area. Would this be an asset to the area? Sure. Now, obviously, you got to do your due diligence as far as environmental studies. But everybody's all for manufacturing, improvement, growth until it's down the road from them. Then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, wait a minute. So before we start listening again to the loudest voices in the room, where there's always a few up front, you have to take a strong, hard look at employing 400 to 500 people plus construction jobs plus $60 to $85 million per year in fiscal benefits for Covington, Clifton Township, North Pocono School District, and Lackawanna County. But it needs to be done properly. So I'm all for reviewing everything. I'm all for making sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. I'm all for proper environmental studies, not only by Pennsylvania, paid for by the company, independent environmental studies that have an unbiased view of what's happening there without an agenda to either for it or stop it. And residents should obviously have their place in say in this. But when you're talking about an economic value of that much, a small group of the loudest naysayers who are happy with the status quo should be taken as just such. So it looks like this is another data center that's in the works. This one looks quite expansive, which is not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, you have a lot of play. I mean, look at Toby Hanna Army Depot, just down the road from where this would be. Very similar, but it's there, and it's the biggest employer in the area. It's one of the mainstays in the Northeast for military technology, is rehab and such like that. And again, $60 to $85 million is something that not only do the local residents need to have a say in, but actually the entire county does, because it does affect the entire county. So hopefully these are looked at holistically. And again, when you have a small group of residents that just care about their backyard, which they should be, right? But what about the benefit to the entire North Pocono School District area? What about the benefit to the county as a whole? What about the benefit to their municipalities? So, meaning Covington and Clifton Township. So the whole thing needs to be looked at. And there are concerns. There are watersheds that run through that area. The Lehigh River runs through that area. Roaring Brook runs through that area. The Pocono Heritage Land Trust is there. And again, how impactful would it be on wildlife was some of the questions that were asked. Well, how impactful on the wildlife were putting 1,600 homes on the gated community that is right near this area? Or the other gated community where there's 2,000 trailers? You know, there didn't seem to be too much worry about where a lot of these people live for their second homes, a lot of them, about the wildlife impact. So, yeah. We do need to look at the impact in the environment, no doubt, but we also have to look at how $60 to $85 million would impact the local economy, the local school districts, the children in that area, and jobs. As these data centers flourish in our area, and we've seen dozens of them in the planning, I would like to see some of our local technical or community colleges fire up programs, just like they did with the gas industry. When Marcellus Shale first started here, what, 20 years ago? When it really hit its boom, when they started leasing up a lot of land and really doing a lot more for our area. You know, a lot of these programs started out for diesel mechanics, for truck drillers, for drillers, for the whole support industry for gas drilling. I would like to see the same thing for data centers. Let's start technical certification programs. Let's try and get local residents here that want to retool their careers. You know, maybe I don't want to work in a factory anymore. Maybe I want to work in one of these data centers. Or maybe I am a tradesperson that wants to specialize in this. Do I need any specialty? Should I get some electronics or computer training so I can switch over and maybe work inside in the air conditioning? I would like to see that, since we're talking over and over again about all these data centers, from Archibald to the Valley, Upper Valley, to now down in the Upper Pocono area in Covington and Clifton Township. Let's start the infrastructure here to not only have the facilities that they could build because we have the energy needs, but let's also give them the local personnel that could work these facilities. So I would like to see more conjunction done with that on the local scale. They could fire up these things. But we're going to keep an eye on this. This is the first I've heard of this big project down in the Clifton-Covington area. But so far, you know, 400 to 500 jobs plus construction jobs and $60 to $85 million annually in increased revenue for the municipalities and entities like the school district. I'm all ears for that. So it's 3:22 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. A few texters said that they suspect that these data centers will be part of some cause and have some tax-free deals for a couple of years. That's not mentioned in this at all. Matter of fact, they mentioned that it will be a $60 to $85 million tax advantage to these entities that I named, like North Pocono School District, Lackawanna County, Covington and Clifton Township, and some of the others. I didn't see anything like that. This isn't a standard industrial area that they build and try and attract manufacturers to come to this area with incentives of tax deals. These are data centers who are coming to the township and saying, hey, we want to build on this property, this data center. So the fact that we're not looking to attract them, they're coming here on their own, I haven't seen in any of the deals of tax deals to them. So, and it would be silly to do that. They want this area because of the resources we have. They want to build in these areas because it's suitable for them. Well, then they're going to pay the proper taxes to do that, because they're not going to do it if they're not going to make money, and that's already been taken into consideration. But it's not like we're building an industrial area and then trying to attract tenants to those industrial areas. So, you know, there could be some sort of incentives there. I'm sure that'll be part of the negotiations. I wouldn't be for that at all. I think that if you're going to put these type of data centers in these areas, they need to benefit the entire community, the entire county, the entire area. And that goes for taxes. That goes for jobs. That's why I said we need to start firing up as far as some of our trade schools, some of our community colleges, some of our local entities. Let's get some training programs fired up to where people can maybe change course in their lives to get a higher paying job in a data center, since there's so many of them that want to be built here. Let's go to the phone now. We have Joe on a cell phone about data centers. Joe.
Hey, Rob, Joe from Slocum Township, formerly from Covington Township. There's one issue that I'm concerned with. I understand that maybe each one of those buildings needs its own well or water tower. I'm not sure. But there's a well water issue in that whole area. And I personally had to drill another well. It went dry. My parents had to drill a well. It went dry. My sister had to drill a well. It went dry. And that's just in the family. But there's some communities out there in that area that share wells. I know of one that they have one large well, and it serves like 20 properties.
There's one or two smaller water authorities up there. You're right. Part of this story is that the developers for this data center said that they would like to use gray water from the treatment plants, which would be sewage water that they would clean, and they would pay to expand the township sewage treatment facility, enable them to use it. So basically, they'd be recycling wastewater.
Well, that would be wonderful. I'm for data centers personally. I have one coming near me. Near Dorrance, and but that would be there's a water treatment plant only about 6 miles from there.
Yeah, part of the story was, and I'm sorry I didn't mention it in the original story, but part of the story was, because that's a concern in their two watersheds with the Lehigh River and Roaring Brook there, is they would use gray water from the treatment plant, and not only that, they would pay to expand the treatment plant to make it better and larger.
I'm all on board.
Well, not yet. It's still preliminary, but you know, I want to add that to the story if that's one of your main concerns. They seem to have already addressed that in being willing to pay to expand the township's or the area's wastewater treatment to use gray water instead of groundwater.
That's good to hear, because I got concerned you could only put so many straws in a glass of water.
Absolutely.
That's good news.
Absolutely.
Good news.
Joe, I appreciate you calling.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And that's a great addition to that, and a valid concern. You know, anyone who's not on municipal water or public water supply, like me, like most of the homes down there are private wells. There are a couple of water authorities, but they're smaller, like Joe said, where there's 20, 30, maybe 50 homes on a water system. And in the past, they haven't been maintained the best, so they're constantly being repaired. They're constantly going down. And again, I worked in that area. I know this firsthand. So the fact that that part of the plan here is to use gray water from the sewage treatment plant and expand that facility is a good benefit here. And just that in itself may be a good driver for that area to say, hey, we're going to make your system more robust. Yes, we're going to draw the wastewater from it. But it also gives you the ability to treat your wastewater more efficiently and on a larger scale. So that's a good part of that. And again, this is just early in the stage, but when these types of things come out, and there's already a few of them named in the story, you know, residents that all of a sudden, no, we can't have this here, not in my backyard. And I get it. Listen, a lot of them are older. This is their retirement home. This is where they want to live. They don't want to deal with change. They don't want to deal with a lot of things. But when you're throwing things out like, you know, what's the impact on the wildlife? Well, you didn't seem to have a problem when your development built 1,600 homes right in the middle of wildlife. So let's not be hypocritical, too. Times change, things improve, things grow, and this is part of that. And if unless you own the land yourself, there's not much you could do about it in the long term to tell other people what to do with the land. You can try. That's why we have ordinances and such, just to make sure it's done the right way. It's 3:32 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. So Larry Malski, who gave an update to members of the Lackawanna-Luzerne Metropolitan Planning Organization on the progress towards establishing rail service between Scranton and New York City. Says the train could make the trip in 2 hours and 50 minutes. Getting the first train rolling, however, might still take years. Malski, president of the Pennsylvania Regional Railroad Authority, has been working with the government and business leaders for years to restart service that ended 45 years ago. And he says progress has been encouraging. About 2 years ago, when Scranton applied with more than 100 communities, wanted to open passenger rail corridor, the federal government narrowed the list down to 69 that could potentially get funding. Of those, four advanced, and we're one of them, he told the meeting. The Scranton project received federal money to create a service development plan. He said budgets, preliminary engineering, and other preliminary work is being done now during the stage two of the planning, what's being called stage two of the planning, which he hopes will end by the end of this year, so the project will be in stage three, final engineering, by this time next year. Once you complete stage three, you get money for full construction, he said. Pennsylvania Department of Transportation has taken over the project's lead applicant, which is significant because PennDOT can supply money for planning and engineering. The department also runs the passenger service for two other Amtrak corridors in Pennsylvania, one that connects Philadelphia to Harrisburg and the other ties Harrisburg to Pittsburgh. The Regional Rail Authority owns 60 miles of track, and the stations on the route between Scranton and Delaware Water Gap. East of the Water Gap, the project partners with New Jersey Transit and New Jersey Department of Transportation for the route to New York City, while Amtrak owns the last 7 miles into Penn Station in Manhattan. Estimates for building the line are from $800 million to $1.2 billion. The infrastructure bill has funding in place to add passenger rail, which the current federal budget continues. A study 2 years ago estimated 473,000 riders would travel on the Scranton-New York route, which would start with three trains a day. The service might generate $84 million of economic activity, including tourism, the study found. Malski looks at a growing recreation market in the Poconos that might draw riders from New York and New Jersey. Also, 13 colleges and universities are along the route. That's another tiny example of the ridership that's there. He considers how traffic developed after train service began between Boston and Brunswick, Maine, in 2012. The line doubled, dubbed the Downeaster. An old air base was reborn with apartments and shops in Brunswick, home to 21,500 residents and Bowdoin College, where other business and hotel grew around 24 million, station and visitor center. The Downeaster began in 2001, connecting Portland, the capital of Maine, with Boston, and has increased the number of trains per day from 2 to 5 since then. So this is only an example of what's happening in other comparable. Again, I monitor this with caution. I haven't seen the economic studies where they're coming up with that 80-something million dollars, $84 million in economic activity, including tourism. Does that include the whole line or just us here in this area? Does not state. This, it says from the Scranton to New York route, which is going to include 7 or 8 other stops. So it would include Stroudsburg. It would include the Poconos. It would include Jersey. It would include Penn Station. But if New York City leadership and New York State leadership keeps going down the path that it's going down, I want nothing to do with it. And again, you saw the expansion that he was talking about. Apartments for 21,000 people. Businesses and hotels grew around 24 million for the area. Are we ready to deal with that? And it's fine when you have local leaders saying, this is a great economic impact for our area. Where's the planning? Where's the capital planning? Say this comes through in 2 years. Say they start building this in 2 years. 5 years, the trains start rolling. Do we have the extra fire personnel? Do we have the extra police personnel? Do we have the extra public works? Do we have the extra parking facilities? Something that's already a cluster in the city of Scranton. How come that's not being discussed as part of this? You know, they're looking for Scranton residents to give $200,000 a year, up to $2 million back to this entity that, where they should be paying you, because they don't know how to manage their asset. Matter of fact, they don't have a business plan. That's why it's failing. Until I see the reality of those things, until I see the administration of Scranton say, this railroad, we're going full steam for it, we're supporting it, it's going to be a great thing for our area, this is my capital plan to increase our police force by 20%. Between now and 5 years from now. This is the money we need to put aside. This is the hiring we need to do. These are the extra vehicles we're going to purchase. These are the fire apparatuses we need to deal with rail service coming to our area 3 times a day. This is the how we're going to deal with making sure our roads are plowed, making sure our roads are patched, making sure snow removal is on point. Here's our facilities to deal with the pedestrian traffic, to deal with the vehicular traffic, to deal with parking issues. For daily commuters or weekend commuters. We're seeing none of that. So until we see that, take this with a grain of salt, because they're not very serious about it. It's 3:44 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's 3:47. Let me go to the phone now. We have Jake from Scranton. Jake.
Hello.
Yes.
Oh, sorry about that. All I had was static on my end.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you're on the air now.
Great. No, I was calling about the train coming in. Just two questions. Is New Jersey on board with the whole thing? Because I know they have their own railroad infrastructure going into Manhattan every day. I know people who use it. So they don't really need another railroad from what they tell me.
Well, it wouldn't be a separate line on their end. Our line would actually join their line and go to their station that ends up going to Penn Station from there. So there would be a transfer in either Jersey City or Newark there. I forget where the transfer is.
But weren't a lot of these lines from the Delaware Water Gap into a certain point in Jersey ripped up by Amtrak years ago? I remember that.
The ones in our area were, I believe there are some in New Jersey, but again,
right,
where they could use existing rail, they would, and the ones would be added to that. But
okay. Now, second question, garbage. Are they going to be using the trains to pull garbage out of New Jersey and New York instead of trucks?
Instead of passengers,
instead of
you
people,
said.
Yeah. Ultimately, there's a whole lot more money in garbage than there is in moving people.
Well, not just garbage, but cargo. But garbage is a big part of that cargo.
Garbage is a biggie because those lines go right past the biggest landfill in our area, in the state, probably.
They do, and I would think it would be naive to think that's not part of the plan.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, Jake. And he's right. It's something to think about. Cargo and trash removal, trash hauling, I mean, all you have to do is sit on 380 and you could see our trucks headed both ways back and forth with garbage coming to and from our area. So, yeah, would it be used for that? I mean, our rails now are used for that. So this would be an extension of that. But with only three trains a day at this point, I think it would be naive to think they wouldn't use that rail service for other things that are higher paying than passenger rail. Somebody else texted in, the cost of running train service is enormous. No passenger service pays for itself. They all rely on federal and state money annually. They may get the money for a startup, but within 3 or 4 years, the money pit will all be overwhelming. Yes, no doubt. And it's true. I mean, look at the whole Amtrak has been. And it's not that cheap. It's 3:50 here at WILK. Time for Bloomberg. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. So there's a lot of these cars out there, and I know Paul Michaels has been covering it in his news breaks, but Ford is recalling 850,000 vehicles over a fuel pump failure that could cause engine to stall. And we all know what that means if you're on the highway or on the road. You lose your power steering, you lose your brakes. It could be an issue. So this is coming from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. The recall impacts certain 2021 to 2023 Broncos, Explorers, Lincoln Aviators, F-250 SDs, F-350 SDs, F-450 SDs, F-550 SDs, 2021 to 2022 Lincoln Navigators, Mustangs, F-150s, and 2022's Expedition vehicles. It's a lot of vehicles, 850,000. Fuel pump defect could stifle fuel delivery to the engine, affect vehicles, potentially causing the engine to stall while driving. Ford said an estimated 10% of the 850,318 vehicles included in the recall actually have the defect. The automaker received at least 6 consumer complaints related to the defect and is unaware of any accidents or injuries related to the fuel pump failure. Letters notifying vehicle owners of the safety risk are expected to be mailed July 14th. Second letters will be sent once there is a remedy. Drivers may notice the check engine light, weaker engine power or poor engine performance, including misfiring or running rough ahead of the fuel pump failure. The defect is more likely to occur in warm weather conditions with hot fuel in the tank or when fuel levels are low, the automaker said. And it appears, and again, I'm just reading it from the story, there is no fix as of yet. They are recalling it, checking. Doesn't say specifically what engine or specifically how to mitigate it. It does say that it appears to be more in warmer weather when you have a low fuel tank. So if you have one of the vehicles I mentioned, it would be a good idea to keep your tank as full as you can. And if you notice any rough idling, check engines or things like that, you may want to pull to the side or have your vehicle checked more rapidly than you normally would. And I'll post this up on my Facebook so you have a listing of the cars, because there is quite a few. Like I said, 2021 to 2023 Broncos, Explorers, Lincoln Aviators, the 250, the 350, the 450, the 550, all SDs, Lincoln Navigator 2021 and 2022, Mustang, F-150, and the 2022 Expedition vehicles. So that's quite a list there and spectrum of vehicles. So just be careful out there with your Ford vehicles. And if it's not Ford, it's another make. We're constantly having these vehicles recalled. You know, you get a new vehicle to have the worry-free driving experience, right? Hey, I got a new vehicle. I shouldn't have to worry about lights coming on. I shouldn't worry about things breaking or recalls or anything like that. And they're constantly taking the vehicle from you. And a lot of times then, they don't even give you another car to use. What are we supposed to do, right? What are we supposed to do? One of the other big news coming out of Harrisburg is that Governor Josh Shapiro signed the bill that to fully allow Sunday hunting. It's been quite a long time, but Sunday hunting, it appears, will be allowed. It's a centuries-old ban on Sunday hunting, now fully ended, as the governor signed a bill into law yesterday that will allow State Game Commission to open up unlimited number of Sundays to hunt. The long-standing prohibition is a relic of the early days of the Commonwealth and one that doesn't make sense anymore given the pace of modern life in Pennsylvania's burgeoning deer population, Shapiro said Wednesday during a bill signing ceremony at the Blue Ridge Sportsman Club in northern Dauphin County. The idea of opening up Sunday hunting has been floated for years, and it was a way to attract more Pennsylvanians to the hobby. Given the number of hunters in the state has been on a broad decline for several decades. And this has been a hotly debated, and if you've ever been to deer camp, if you've ever been out, I see both sides of it. I know people, avid hunters, that will not hunt on Sunday. But if you have children, if you want to get people out more, if you only have limited time off from work, it is a benefit. So I could see it. I would have always liked them to see the open up Sunday hunting to youth hunters and senior license holders and disabled hunters. But I can go either way on this. So it's good that the opportunity is expanded for people that want to use it and want to do it because it is a great pastime here in Pennsylvania. It has great tradition. And, now that my grandson is in the picture, he's a little too young yet, but I'm sure we'll be taking advantage of this down the road. So, all in all, I see it opening up a lot of opportunity here in Pennsylvania. But it has been a highly contested and debated argument that I've been part of at deer camp over the years, over the decades that I've been here. So, I can see both sides of it. But all in all, I think it is for the best. So, if you are a Pennsylvania hunter, if you have your kids are out of state and you want them to come up, it's opening up the opportunity for you now. It's 4 o'clock here at WILK. We'll be back.